This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We have another great show lined up for you, 2 hours of finance and economic discussion. The second hour is going to be focused on the precious metals. We have a couple company updates to present and a couple analysts that will come on and provide their outlook for the precious metals. But in the first hour, we are going to talk a bit about economics and the general U.S. markets. Just as a reminder, if anybody is in Vancouver tomorrow or Monday, feel free to swing by the Cambridge House Resource Investment Conference. I will be there with a booth set up. I will also be speaking on Monday at 11:40. So I hope to see a number of our listeners there. Come by, say hi, even take a seat. We can chat about some of the companies that I like there. Now, let's get into the show. And kicking off this weekend's show with Chris Martinson, co-founder of Peak Prosperity, a website that I think everybody should visit on, I think, a daily basis, but at least a weekly basis to find what Chris is writing about. And Chris, as always, you opened up my eyes to a fascinating article that was posted on Zero Hedge. And sometimes, or I think all the time, you need to read Zero Hedge with a bit of skepticism. But this article focuses on a chart that Morgan Stanley came out with that talked about the cross-asset correlations and how it essentially has just plummeted to levels not seen until back in 2003. Before we get into the actual chart, can you explain to our audience what cross-asset correlations mean?
Certainly, Corey. It's absolutely a mouthful, a cross-asset correlation. What it is, yeah. What that really means is they're looking at a variety of assets. So stocks, equities being an asset class, bonds being an asset class, commodities, gold, things like that. You would look at those, and sometimes they move together, and you know that one goes up 2%, another goes up 2%. They have a very tight correlation, or it could be the opposite of that. Every time something goes up 2%, something else goes down 2%. It's a negative correlation, but still it's a correlation, meaning they're moving in lockstep just oppositely. And so they track all of these and put them into a chart and say, hey, how are things across the globe moving? Kind of, in, you know, can the movements in one asset class help us understand the movements in another? And so they use this for macro trading. And, of course, we live in a global world now. So you can't really look at the price of IBM stock, which is just, you know, one sliver in one market, and really know what's happening. You have to look across the globe. So this chart you're referring to is speaking to a way of sort of looking at how the whole world is operating. And, of course, from an asset standpoint, financial asset standpoint. But we want to know that because sometimes big movements, changes in how those assets are trading against each other will tell us that there's a change afoot in how the markets are going to be behaving.
Well, this chart that we're watching has, as I said, plummeted down to about 20%, where it was peaking at just short of, let's say, 50%. And some of the notes made in this article say that lower cross-asset correlation is common in late-cycle environments. Let's discuss this topic. Does this late-cycle environment mean that we're running to the end of maybe a business cycle here, that we could be due for a correction, considering it feels like we have been going straight up for about 7 years now?
Well, absolutely. And the biggest late cycle piece we'd be concerned about, as usual, is that this has been another credit cycle. So we live in a world of debt-based money. When the Federal Reserve says they're worried about unemployment or they're worried about inflation, they're not. They're worried about the degree to which the markets are creating new credit, because that's the world we live in. So we're at the tail end of a very, very large period of credit expansion. Remember, from the moment the crisis hit in 2007, 2008, we're up probably worldwide an additional $60 trillion of new debt has been created. And when we did that, things happened. We saw some bizarre things, right? We saw high yield, aka junk debt, trading as low as having only a yield of only 4%, below what a 10-year treasury used to have before the crisis hit. We saw sovereign debts go into negative yield territory. So that's what we're talking about here is a credit cycle. It drove things to extremes. It drove negative interest rates, junk debts to levels it's not even like once in a generation, to levels that have never been seen in 500 years of financial market history. So when we say there's possibly a turn afoot here in a late cycle dynamic, we're talking about the mother of all cycles, the largest credit expansion ever attempted, for which, sadly, we didn't get a whole lot of bang for that buck. We never really saw the global economy come roaring back. So this chart is speaking to this idea of what happens, where are people going to go and hide with their financial wealth if we find that, you know, we're at the end of a mega credit cycle that didn't deliver the goods, which was the economic growth that would support the repayment of all that credit. That's what it's speaking to here.
So I will be posting this chart on our website under the Weekend Show posting for people just to look at and see how massive of a plunge this is. But Chris, you and I have chatted so many times about how monetary policy and essentially this easy money policy has continued to drive these markets higher. It's kept liquidity in the markets. And even around the world, we're seeing other central banks actually come into the U.S. markets and buy equities, even on top of some of the treasuries. However, they have been, alleviating themselves from some of those treasuries recently. How big of a role does, I want to say, this little shift in monetary policy from the U.S., from the Fed, which is slowly starting to raise rates, compared to what we heard from Draghi earlier this week, that it sounds like they are going to keep their pretty easy money policies at the ECB going?
Well, they're really stuck, and they have been stuck for a long time. And so let's be clear that the central banks can lead when they're just flooding the world with fresh money. But they have to follow eventually when the markets begin to start to raise rates. It's really hard for central banks to keep holding rates low when the markets want them to go higher, because the central banks don't just have a dial on a board where they just set it to 0% or 0.25% interest rates. The way they affect interest rates is they go into the overnight lending market between banks and they either flood money in or pull money out to either make interest rates go down or up, respectively. So that's what they do. So if interest rates are rising anyway, which means money's getting tight, and the central banks want to work against that, they have to really open the spigots and flood like crazy. And that can be hard for them to do. So they usually typically follow. They don't want to get too far away from what the markets are doing. And we've seen some pretty big changes. This is what, again, I think this chart is speaking to, is with these cross-asset correlations beginning to diverge and change. Well, this sort of fits with a pattern where we're seeing large amounts of U.S. treasuries, for example, being sold by foreign countries, foreign governments, other entities, as they are seeking to try and address local issues. So there's just changes afoot. We can all squint at this chart and wonder what it really means. I don't think that the central banks are really in control. I don't think anybody really has a good handle on these crazy markets. Market veterans have been absolutely stumped by this. So this chart, if anybody listening comes and looks at it, I would want them to just squint at it and say, it feels like something's about to change here. And what's about to change, if that's the case, is the most extraordinary periods of easy money policy ever. And when that changes, it could change rather dramatically, rather suddenly.
Well, this is something that I do want to talk about in the next shortened segment with you, Chris, and that is this change that we are seeing, potential change, I'll call it, in monetary policy, and your comment there of how central banks follow and maybe the fact that the Fed might be taking the lead here. We'll just have to see, but until then, everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Had it been the sweet Paris air permeating the night? The intoxicating way her beauty had overtaken him? Whatever the case back then, Jordan Dunleavy is still in love with the memory of Lauren, the woman he'd lost so many years before. In Bookstore on the Seine, the journey of a conspiracy analyst, author C.L. Hendman, ties conspiracy theories, mystery, irony, and romance into this stimulating novel that masterfully interweaves the past with the present. Available on Amazon and Kindle and at bookstoreontheseine.com. That's S-E-I-N-E.com. bookstoreontheseine.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our conversation with Chris Martinson. And Chris, I want to talk about the concept that we discussed at the tail end of the last segment, and that is how central banks are followers, not so much leaders. And recently we're starting to see the Fed actually take a different tack than a lot of the other big central banks around the world. The ECB, the Central Bank of China, they continue to print money and try to keep rates low, while the Fed stopped their QE program a number of years ago, and they are very, very slowly going down an interest rate rising attitude or environment. Do you think that this is a new trend that we are in, where central banks maybe will divert away from this ultra-easy money policy?
Well, they're going to have to at some point, and of course, they should have started this about 6, maybe 7 years ago. Get a little emergency rate stimulus into the arm of the patient, but then back off, and they didn't. And now they're really boxed in a corner. Everybody listening to this should know that any rapid rise in interest rates from here would be a complete disaster for credit markets that are as stretched as these, stretched by subprime borrowers, junk borrowers, even whole governments, sovereign governments could not withstand the shock of having to pay more for borrowed money. Now, the interesting point here, though, is are the central banks at the driver's seat with their hands firmly on the wheel? Are they steering the car, or are they following, meaning, they're driving, but they have to follow the car in front of them? In this case, the interest rates have been telling us something very fascinating as we go through here, which is we've seen the rates start to rise pretty dramatically as we come into this year, but also in the last 3 months of 2016. And here's one example, the LIBOR rate, that's the London Interbank Offer Rate. That's a rate that banks charge each other. That's something that sets trillions of dollars in interest rate vehicles, things like mortgages, corporate loans, things like that. A year ago, the three-month LIBOR rate was 0.62%, and right now it's 1.02%. So it's had, in percentage terms, a very large increase year over year, much larger than even the Federal Reserve has engineered in its interest rate hike. And, of course, the European Central Bank has gone nowhere in its interest rates. So the markets are saying rising interest rates. The central banks are clinging over here saying, no, not yet, because they're scared and, of course, terrified, I think, of rising interest rates. But they're going to have to follow at some point. My view is the central banks lead on the way down, but they have to follow on the way up. And I'm talking about interest rates here. So it feels like there's a turn afoot. And, of course, it wouldn't be surprising. And it has to happen someday. So whether it happens this week or next year, we all know interest rates have to normalize. The only question is, do we do it on our own terms, or does the market force the issue?
Hey, I agree with you, Chris. The rates cannot stay at this ultra-low level forever, and it does feel like a turn is at foot, that these rates are starting to creep up. In the U.S., though, when we look at the longer-term Treasury rates, we are seeing those continue to creep up, and a lot of the selling that has come into Treasuries has been from foreign entities, big foreign entities. How big of a role do you think this is playing, and do you think this will continue?
Well, I'm surprised that we haven't seen an even larger increase in the rates. I can't really account for it, because just the amount of Treasuries that China alone has sold, or if I could use the word dumped, it's an astonishing number in the hundreds of billions. As recently as 10 years ago, even a $10, $20 billion sell-off by a foreign entity, you would have found it pretty aggressively in the rates. We're not seeing it yet. I'm not entirely clear who's sopping up all that extra paper, but it's clearly happening. So, again, it's very hard to analyze these markets because we don't know exactly how much liquidity is being created. We know that there's about $140 billion a month being tossed into the markets courtesy of Japan and European Central Bank buying. But we don't know how much that's being compounded by additional speculation and other leverage being applied in the banking and shadow banking system. So we have just at least $140 billion a month. That's just managing to keep the equity market sort of perched, and it's just managing, but it's not really managing to also keep interest rates from rising. So it tells me that if we really want more financial asset appreciation, we're going to need to see more from the central banks. But they're now, I think, increasingly politically constrained. Oxfam last year said 62 people, just 62, had as much wealth as half the world. Rand, the same report this year, discovered that number is now 8 people have as much wealth as half the world's population. And that is all courtesy of financial asset appreciation, courtesy of central banks shoveling money. And that creates very, very obvious social tensions. And if you don't understand that dynamic of going from 62 to 8, you won't understand the rise of Trump, Marine Le Pen, the frictions in Europe, or any of the other political movements we've seen. That's a big driver of what we see today.
Absolutely, and that's a shocking number, too. 8 people, man, oh, man, just shows how in trouble the rest of the population is, unfortunately. And hopefully Trump can make a change on that and bring back more of a middle class, but we'll have to see now that we are in the Trump era. But Chris, as a general comment, if these markets are driven by easy money coming from the central banks, if this money starts to dry up, is it the worst thing that these markets go through a correction?
Well, no, they should go through a correction. I think the worst conceit that was carried through from the Greenspan era was that central banks have a hand and a role in assuring a proper and stable financial market system. That's not how it's supposed to work. So what you get when you deny a correction by printing or jawboning or whatever mechanisms they use to keep the markets propped is you don't allow that creative destruction, that flushing out, the bad ideas, the weak companies. If you flush those out, there's now room for better ideas and new and stronger companies to come in. This should have happened in the banking industry. It should have happened in the auto industry. A lot of industries have been kept afloat, not unlike the zombie bank system we see in Japan. That model was replicated virtually across the world at this point in time. And what you end up with is kind of a stagnant, moribund, not exciting, low-growth environment, which doesn't support really aggressive rates of credit growth. But we've had those anyway. So the question emerges, if we can't pay all that credit back because we borrowed it and it didn't go to really productive stuff, who's going to eat the losses? And that's the question that we really have to be asking ourselves, because let's be clear, we're not going to pay these things back. And we've already seen the first fallen soldiers in these stories. Just look at the Dallas Police Pension Fund if you want a nice, crisp little metaphor for what we're talking about right now. This is a plan that can't meet its obligations. It was gutted by low interest rates. They're eating the losses. Those are going to go out to people who faithfully paid into a system they thought they could depend on, and they're eating the losses. But the appropriate question to ask is, well, if the Dallas Police retirees are eating the losses, Who got the gains in that story? Who was that wealth transferred to? Then we wander back to the Oxfam report and we say, oh, it was these 8 guys and people like them, right? That's how this story is being played out right now.
And I think we're seeing people around the world, not just in the U.S., more increasingly angry about what is happening. And that's why we've seen the political moves that we did see in 2016. And that's what I think makes 2017 so fascinating. Chris, as always, thanks for your time. Everybody, remember, go visit peakprosperity.com.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I am joined by a guest who came on the show for the first time back on November 22nd, and we chatted about pension funds and the struggles around what is actually coming down the line for a lot of these pension funds, and quite honestly, some of the worries that people moving into retirement and might already be in retirement should have about their pension funds. We're going to shift focus a little bit today and talk about the markets. The guest I have on with me is Greg Milia. He is the president of Milia Advisory Group based out of Oklahoma. And Greg, when you and I were talking off mic, we were just discussing the general markets, and you made some fascinating comments to me that I want you to share with our audience. But first off, let's talk about the general U.S. markets. Your comment off mic was you, quite frankly, just don't believe in the markets. P.E. ratios are at record highs. The S&P had 5 straight negative earning quarters, and we very well could be in for a 6th. Can you just run down some of your other concerns about the markets in a broad sense, please?
Well, you hit on one of them. I mean, anytime I ask, when somebody walks in my office, I'll frequently ask them, I said, okay, if you were to buy a company, what's the first question you'd ask? And, well, how much money do you make? You know, and that would be the question to ask. And if they were making a little money, would you offer a big price for a company that's making a little money? And, well, of course not. Common sense would dictate you don't. But yet that's what people are willing to do in the stock market today. When you have earnings that have gone down for 5 straight quarters and the price is at all-time highs, people are willing to pay incredibly high prices for companies that are not producing any earnings. It just doesn't make sense, except to say that in the historical cycles, we've had two drops now greater than 50%, and we have another one coming, and we're really following just a historical norm. We should have another drop, and it'll be significant. We're right back to where we were in 2000, 2008. The funny thing, Corey, is everybody talks about 2012 was the lost decade. They don't realize that right now the S&P 500 is just a little over 2% growth for the last 16 years. They just want to talk about it broke highs, but it took 16 years to make that high. It's like you do the math, and it just doesn't make sense. And I think we're going to be in a protracted, very slow-growing economy for a lot of years yet the stock market is acting like we're at a fast pace, you know, earnings growing at a quick step, and yet that's not what's happening.
Well, and this all plays into account of the bigger picture here. And when you talk about earnings of companies, obviously what comes in these earnings are people spending money. But right now, I truly believe that people in the U.S., even with low interest rates, are cutting back a lot on their expenses. And this has to do with a generational thing as well, that the baby boomers that were such a driver to the economy when they were growing up, they were spending money, they were building the economy. They've given birth to these millennials who, quite frankly, are in debt thanks to their school, and they can't afford houses. They can't afford some of the, I guess, basic fundamental necessities that help drive the economy. How does this all play into your outlook for the markets, the fact that millennials just don't seem to be picking up the slack for the baby boomers?
No, I agree. I mean, if you go back in history, anytime you have a population boom, you can move about 40 years in the future and you'll see a big economic boom. And that was the baby boomers, which have been the engine of our economy for years and years. Well, you know those high, Corey, as they retire, they spend less and less. They get, I call it nesting for retirement. You start paying the debts off. You're looking to get out of debt to pay the house off. You're looking to downsize your life, downsize your expenses, because you know you get ready to go on fixed income. If you can imagine an entire population doing that. And so what's happened is, and it's just slowed, the entire economy is slowing to a snail's pace. 10,000 of them are exiting a day. And what we're seeing is that you have companies that are not replacing those jobs. In fact, several clients have walked in and said they keep losing people and not replacing them. I'm retiring because I can't stand the stress. And that's why I hear that a lot from just a local market. So you add all that together, and of course the government's response was, okay, the economy's slowing, we're entering into a critical phase. When 2008, we lost 8 to 9 million jobs. In fact, we haven't got those back yet. So the answer was, let's artificially lower rates, and let's get people buying, borrowing money and buying stuff, then we'll need jobs for people to make the stuff, and that's going to turn everything around. Well, you already alluded to it, Corey, you know as well as I, it didn't happen. They measure that and call money velocity. And that has remained near zero the entire time. Even all the spending that's happened, it just hasn't helped.
So does this have something to do with the employment numbers in your eyes, too? Because we are getting hit over the head by the Fed saying, look at how great employment is, we're at full employment. But again, people don't seem to be building their savings, and they also don't seem to be spending. So there's a disconnect here.
Well, the disconnect is in the numbers, too. I mean, the unemployment number is something, it's a misnomer. I mean, when all they're measuring are those that are drawing unemployment. So if you only qualify for unemployment for a period of time, you fall off the rolls, you're still unemployed, you technically become employed statistically by the government. It's just nonsense. It doesn't report the real numbers. You have to look at something called workforce participation or underemployment, and what you'll find out, both those numbers are at highs. It's just the opposite of what you think, that we don't have the people working. Incomes are going down, not up. And this is creating a place where the millennials, as you said, are highly in debt, leveraged in debt from the college, which, by the way, if everybody forgets, in 2008-09, one of the spending programs with the government was to take over the college, the loan program, and make it very, very easy to get loans. Because they knew that generation, they'd spend that money. And so you ended up with a generation of people that just really in debt. Even seniors took on some of that debt. And so colleges found that they've done very well since 2009 as a result of that. But it's left a generation really in debt. It's sad.
It's actually quite scary for a lot of these younger people trying to either start families and start to build their career. A lot of their money that should be savings are going to repay some of this debt, some of these student loans, which now it feels like everybody has some sort of a college degree. But Greg, when you're talking to your clients and they're coming to you saying, I do have some money, and you're saying, well, I'm afraid of the markets, I don't think we should just be throwing money at the S&P, let's say, what do you tell them to do? How can they protect their wealth and also make some sort of return?
Great question, Corey. What we focus on is using fixed income assets that pay a consistent dividend that we turn around and I call it take the eggs and buy more chickens. You know, if the last 16 years with the market where it's been at 2%, if you've been in their assets up there that pay 4-7%, but everybody will disagree because here's where most advisors use mutual funds, and you can't do what I'm referring to by using mutual funds. Anyway, find fixed income assets that pay a consistent dividend and reinvest that dividend. And they're out there. I mean, you know, people listening will say, well, it doesn't exist. It does exist. But part of what you see today is the use of mutual funds is so extensive that I honestly see a lot of advisors not really doing the work that it takes to go out and dig and look and do the research to find those assets.
Well, unfortunately, it kind of ties into this passive investing versus active investing. And
yep.
So many people are
yep.
passive investors now.
Well, I think it's kind of deserved because if you look at, you know, what most advisors are doing today is they're just simply using mutual funds. And most mutual funds, you know, as I, Corey, the S&P 500 beats most mutual funds 90-some percent of the time. I mean, you might as well join the, if you're going to be in the market, even Warren Buffett said, be in an S&P 500 fund. And why are you going to pay somebody to do that? I don't get that personally. I don't understand why anybody pays somebody to be, which, you know, we had a conversation about robo-advisors, which is why you're seeing the increase there, too, is if the passive investment is leading to that. But the kind of investing that really needs to be done today really requires a hands-on, I call it an old style, that they used to do 30, 40 years ago before mutual funds were even in existence, where you actually get your hands in the middle and do the research and come up with these assets and find and work for your client. And that's what we really where we want to be for our clients.
Hey, Greg, I have to say that's exactly where I think all investment consultants and investment advisors need to be, and that's digging deeper, finding those opportunities in the market, because even if markets are struggling, there is either some churn going on or there is always some company that is outperforming. And if you can find those, you're far, far better off than just throwing your money at a broad average that looks shaky right now. And if anybody wants to get in touch with Greg, feel free to email me directly. I think he's a great new guest to the show and provides some great insights, not only to our audience, but also to his clients. So, Greg, as always, thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Corey. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spell P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details. Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 79cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 79cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now. Regardless of your credit, go to 79cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 79cash.com. Type www.79cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 79cash.com. 79cash.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody has enjoyed our commentary so far dealing with more economic factors and conventional markets. In this segment, we're going to be focusing more on yields. I have Dana Lyons, hedge fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana, you posted a couple articles, I believe, throughout this week talking about the recent COT reports in terms of where spec traders are for 10-year treasuries. And spec traders, for those that don't know, are a group that you could say are usually wrong or end up being wrong. So when they reach extreme levels, I think it's very important to pay attention to that. And right now, the spec traders are at almost a record short position in 10-year treasuries. What does this mean to you in terms of maybe a bit of a bounce coming, some buying coming into treasuries?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I would emphasize that last part of your description of speculators. So the CFTC keeps track of different trader groups in futures, and one of the groups is the commercial hedgers. So they're like mostly banks and other financial institutions that truly do the hedging, and they might be firms associated with a certain commodity, and they're typically doing hedging, and they're taking the other side of the bets made by the group that you mentioned, the speculators. So speculators are typically hedge funds, other funds, commodity pools, that type of thing, who go long or short in order to profit from the direction of the underlying futures contract. So typically, these are trend following entities, the speculators, these funds. So it's not that they are considered the quote unquote dumb money, but it's not because they're always wrong. If we're in the middle of a long trend, they can be correctly positioned for a long time because they're going to follow price. It's just that, as you mentioned, at extremes, at turning points, at key junctures, they are typically aligned incorrectly for the turn. So that's why they've earned the moniker dumb money. So presently, like you mentioned, we're seeing the speculators net short position in 10-year futures at an all-time record of nearly 400,000 contracts net short. To give you a perspective, the previous record was, I believe, just over a year ago at less than 300,000. So we're over 100,000 contracts more short than the previous all-time record. So these extremes can continue getting more extreme, as we say, before the turn. But I would say that when you're trying to define an extreme, an all-time record, and by a long shot, is certainly an extreme position. I will say also that just because we have an extreme position doesn't mean that's going to force the turn. What's going to force these speculators to cover these shorts and unwind that short position, perhaps drive up prices, would be a turn in prices itself. So if we see bond prices start heading back up convincingly, that's going to drive these speculators to cover their shorts and provide some fuel for perhaps a sizable bounce in the bond market.
Well, this all speaks to a bigger concept here, Dana, and that is if we are seeing a change in trend in the bond market, in treasuries in general, from this ultra-low interest rate environment that we are in. And you even outlined a chart that showed this downward resistance line, this downward trend line that has been in place for almost 10 years, I believe, that has just been broken by yields on the way up. And when the yields spiked, they have pulled back a little bit, but yields on the 10-year are still just south of 2.5%. How important is this trend line in your eyes to dictate if maybe this ultra-low environment of interest rates is over with?
Right. Well, you have basically you have two mega trend lines, down trend lines in place in the 10-year yields. You have the one stemming from the all-time high in yields in 1981 that's been in place and held yields in check for the last, 30 some odd years. And basically it held, you saw yields continue to bump up against that downtrend line for about 25 years. In 2007, 2008, on the onset of the financial crisis, we saw, as you mentioned, the dawn of the extraordinarily low rate environment, and we've seen actually an acceleration to the downside in interest rates and yields. So from that 2007 peak in yields, we've seen a steeper downtrend in yields that's held interest rates in this new regime, this extraordinarily low rate regime, as we call it, for the last 9-10 years. Now, like you mentioned, during this post-election Trump rally, we saw yields actually, the 10-year yield actually break above that post-2007 downtrend line, which is currently around 2.33% thereabouts. So we saw that that trend line broken, which was key in our view in the 10-year escaping this extraordinarily low rate environment. We've seen the yields test that spot a couple times in the last few weeks, and that yield that trend line is held. So if we hold above that trend line, yields can start moving up, in earnest. If we drop back below it, like we mentioned with the speculator positions, if we drop back below that trend line, we could start seeing yields drop, you know, pretty significantly, at least temporarily, as those shorts unwind. But I would say this is probably one of the most key developments in the financial markets right now is whether or not this point in the 10-year yield holds. So are we going to be in this extraordinarily low rate regime still, or are we going to be are yields going to be allowed to rise at least back up to that long-term downtrend line stemming from 1981, which currently is around the 350 to 380 level in the 10-year yield. So it's again, it's a matter of, are we going to stay ultra low, like you mentioned, or are we just going to stay low? And our sense is that we are in the midst of a long-term shift higher in yields, but it's going to take some back and forth for a while, considering the 30 some odd years it's been falling. It's not going to happen all at once, a jump in yields.
Well, I share your outlook in that sense, Dan. I personally do think that we are in a changing environment here where rates will start moving up, yields will start moving up, and they already have started doing that. So let's see if that continues. I also think that you need to consider the foreign flows of money that have essentially exited a lot of treasuries and T-bills right now. That's playing a big role. But sticking to the charts, what would you say to the argument or the concept that yields put in almost a double bottom? When you look back to 2012, yields hit a low of 1.51 or 1.43, and then in 2006, a final low of 1.37. Do you think this was a double bottom?
Yeah, it's a good point. It could be considered a double bottom or a false breakdown, if you will. What I like about it, if in terms of that interpretation of it, is that you had that false breakdown to a new low, and then you had that immediate spike higher that broke the downtrend line from 2007. So it is a very convincing looking major low that was possibly put in the 10-year. And I think, again, the key will be focusing on that that area around the 230 level on the 10-year yield. Now, interestingly, the 30-year, if you go out a little bit to the 30-year yield, that post 2007, or really it's a post 2011 steep downtrend line has not been broken. So if you're looking to be long, you have more reason to be long perhaps the 30-year than you do the 10-year. But that's just based on technical charting reasoning.
Well, Dana, it's always enjoyable chatting with you, and I thank you for pointing out some of these charts to me, because they are just further, I think, reinforcing the changing environment that we are in for yields. Dana, that brings us to the conclusion of our first hour. As always, thank you for joining us. And everybody stick around. We're going to be right back for the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-4686. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-4686. That's 1-800-656-4686. 1-800-656-4686.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.